Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here on in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. We were just talking about Happy Gilmore. I'm going to put this up as our second poll of the day.
Ah, two polls.
Yeah, why not?
Big poll day.
You can vote at Junks Radio. Did you like it if you saw it? 3 out of 4 Junkies liked it. Now, Valdez loved it. Mm-hmm. Drab hated it. So you can vote at Junks Radio. Cakes was saying, we're walking back, and he's like, you know, that ending part, it was kind of dumb, the third act. Yeah. And I was like, well, wait a second. The opening premise was dumb.
Everything was dumb.
Yeah.
But the maxi golf stuff was, it was kind of egregious. But I was able to look past it. And overall, I enjoyed the movie. That's
as long as you went for 2 hours, t-shirt. You enjoyed it. It was worth the
money. It was fun. Don't take it too seriously.
You don't have to go to the theater. To
oh,
see
I'm sorry.
It.
Yeah. I thought it was in the theater. All right, Netflix. There you go. You're $28 a month, whatever you pay.
All right, let's go to the phone. Some people want to weigh in. Did you like Happy Gilmore 2?
All right, let's go to Chris and Lauren. Chris, what's up?
What's up, boys? How you doing?
What's up? Hey.
You know, I was really excited for this movie. Mm-hmm. Had no expectations. The beginning started to hook me. They had so many good cameos and also so many good throwbacks. By the end of it, I was net Ricks. It was so bad by the end with this maxi golf thing. Why are we calling it maxi golf? I don't understand it. It made no sense to me. Why are people getting surgeries? I will say I'm with Valdez. Scottie Scheffler did steal the show. However, I do think the Will Zalatoris storyline was hilarious. Cracked me up the whole time.
It's kind of funny.
Is he right, Valdez? Yeah. Okay. All right.
Valdez liked everything about it, so of course he liked Zalatoris.
He gave it 6 crab claws out of 5.
the Will stuff is, if you kind of have to see the first movie to understand it, and also understand the viral sensation that happened within the last year or two. And that's probably
golf guy.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the second funniest part.
Mm. Took me a while to figure out who.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it, buddy.
It took me a while to figure out who the journeyman golfer was who ends up winning on the tour.
What, you didn't know who that was?
It took me a while. I was looking at him. I was like, who is that dude? I was like, oh, that's the kid from Sixth Sense.
Billy Joel Osment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's an older, chubby guy now.
Yeah.
Isn't he the one that got like arrested recently?
He definitely
did. Yeah, like
did.
On the ski slopes or something. He was like hammered on the ski slopes.
He was hammered.
Yeah, correct. Was he good? Was he good in this?
He was fine.
Yeah. I don't think he was great.
He's fine as a villain.
He wasn't. Like, right. He wasn't okay. The best character.
Let's go to John in McLean.
And you'd probably struggle to believe that Haley Joel Osment can hit the ball 500 yards off the tee.
Oh, that would annoy me.
I think there might have been some tee shots that were over 500.
John, what's up?
Hey, guys. Definitely a guilty pleasure. The cameos made it. I think John Daly should be nominated for Best Act, Best Supporting Actor.
he was good.
Really that
he
good.
Made me laugh.
Now, hold on. Was he just John Daly, or was it a...
John Daly lives in Happy Gilmore's house.
He lives in his house?
Yeah.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying, was John Daly just essentially being himself? Obviously, I understand they're all playing John Daly. But was he literally playing John Daly as you see John Daly, as we all see him?
Yeah, as you imagine, kind of a wisecracker.
He was a natural. He was a natural.
Right.
he was great. Right. The cameos made it. And I think, last thing, I think you have to know golf to really enjoy it. Because if you were just some rando, you wouldn't know who these players are. And you wouldn't know the.
You're not going to know Fred Couples eating all the blueberry cobbler.
Jubilee,
whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Drab, did you know? Could you ID most of the golfers?
Of course, I could ID every single one of them. I didn't have a problem with the golfer cameos because it kind of added to it. I mean, it was a little bit too much at times. A little hit you over the head so many times.
Was Paige only in it for like 10 seconds?
A couple minutes. Yeah, I mean.
She had two or three scenes.
She was working at Dick's Sporting Goods or whatever. Uh-huh,
uh-huh. I mean, that's all right. They got her in.
She got in.
They wedged her in.
Yeah, I heard Jason's girl, one of the wrestling twins.
Oh.
I forgot the Bella twins? I saw one of them was complaining that her entire role got cut out.
Oh, really?
She was supposed to be in it for 20 minutes.
Okay.
So I don't know what they cut out, but
Yeah, that sucks.
I'm telling you, the movie started great. It was looking great. John Daly, excellent. The cameo stuff, all the way. They were building, building, building. And then it just got so stupid, so fast. I've never seen a movie drop off a cliff like that. And then I'm like, well, that was a waste. I've never been so disappointed. It'd be like blowing a three-touchdown second-half lead.
Right. But that shouldn't erase the laughs you had in the first half.
I mean, it wasn't the funniest movie I've ever seen. I was enjoying it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
Were a lot of the golfers, well, actually, couldn't. That's impossible because it was so long ago. Were there any broadcasters, any golf broadcasters?
Bunch of Vern Lundquist.
Yeah, Vern Lundquist was
Lundquist
there.
Vern Lundquist was in it, yeah.
Nancy was in it?
Nancy wasn't there. Stevie Sands? They had to have Sansy.
I don't think Sansy was in it.
Oh,
I would have recognized Sansy.
A lot of Dan Patrick.
Yeah.
Dan Patrick gets in all of Adam Sandler's movies.
Gotcha.
They have built some sort of relationship, right? I wouldn't say every Adam Sandler movie. I shouldn't say every, but
yeah,
he's in a lot of.
I don't know.
He's in a lot of Adam Sandler movies.
Hmm.
Him and the Sandman are tight.
All right, so I want to just bring it back to the Commanders here. I know we're going to have Grant on. He's been out there a bunch.
Next segment, yeah.
Yeah. And I was asking the guys, you know, the reports are that the offense has struggled here the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make too big a deal about it. I mean, you're early in camp. You're going to have ups and downs. In fact, if you just kind of put in quarterback struggling in camp, apparently Caleb Williams in Chicago has been struggling.
The early reports are not great.
Ben Johnson really pushing him,
mm-hmm.
wants him to aim for a much higher completion rate. They say he has improved sometimes at the end of practices, but there's been some, like, 7-on-7 drills where he's gone 0-for, throwing a bunch of interceptions. I think in Cleveland, we talked about, you know, Kenny Pickett's obviously been injured. I mean, I see that, like, Shedeur Sanders is clearly, in some people's minds, number 4 on the depth. As much as people are hyping up Shedeur, he's, like, clearly number 4 in terms of if you had to rank those guys. They say in Indianapolis, Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Are people concerned that there's been a practice or two where the offense has really struggled here? I think there was one practice where it looked like Jaden might have had 4 or 5 interceptions.
Yeah, I saw that
too.
Defense
just getting the better of it.
I wouldn't be that concerned just because it's only 5 or 6 days into camp, and you would have. Usually, you hear the defenses are more on top of the offenses, just because of preparation and speed. And I wouldn't be that concerned now. You know, look, I mean, if it continues and you start hearing more struggle, JD's struggling, I wouldn't be that concerned yet. Maybe 15, 20 days into camp, maybe, but not 6 or 7.
I mean, I also bake in the fact that he's not throwing to his top target in Terry McLaurin.
McLaurin's not out there.
That has to ding him at least a little bit. I don't know if it hurts that much this early in camp, but, I mean, you want to build that rapport with your wideouts throughout training camp, and he's missing that right now.
But you certainly, if you just kind of read the breakdowns from training camp on every team, there's positives and negatives on every team. You know, I've been trying to read most of them, and you know, whoever's covering it from you know whatever site you're reading, they'll say, yeah, I mean Drake May looked great here, or Caleb Williams looked great here, or Jaden Daniels looked great here. But then, you know, there's always interceptions or incompletions. It's just training camp. I wouldn't be that concerned.
Yeah, I'm not that concerned, and I think at least here in Washington, like some of these practices where the offense has really struggled, they have picked it up at the end of practice, and they've ended on some good notes. I think it's also important to realize that Terry's not there.
He's not there, right?
That is going to have a major impact.
Of course.
Right.
You take your top wideout out of anybody's training camp, the quarterback's not going to look as good.
Yeah.
Wouldn't think.
Yeah.
So I think what you want to look for are the new guys, the free agents, and the rookies. Are they making plays? And if they are, I think everything is fine. You know, the veterans are going to do what they do, but especially the rookies. You see, you know, Jalen Lane making a great catch. That's awesome. Connerly playing well, battling for that right tackle spot. That's great.
I think you can't read anything into this training camp stuff. Some of the stuff that I've read from ex-players, might have been J.J. Watt, who said, this is absurd that you're keeping track of the statistics of quarterbacks in these training camp practices when you have no idea what they're being asked to do. Then in a game situation, they may not throw that ball that gets intercepted, but they're being asked to throw against these defensive coverages to see how the defense might react. Mm-hmm. So it's all skewed. You just don't know what the goals of each individual play are.
Yeah, I agree completely.
And by the way, Jaden's going to take off and run for 900 yards this year. And that's not necessarily going to be a huge part of the training camp practices. Mm-hmm. So they do run at times, but I would put almost no stock into it. You know what I'd put more stock into? How they played against the Lions in the playoffs. How they played against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would also put stock into keeping guys healthy because you're seeing guys go down early, you know, for season-ending injuries in other camps. You want to keep your key guys healthy. You don't want a torn Achilles or knee or broken collarbone.
I mean, one of the biggest advantages for this offense is the continuity. You're getting Jaden back. I mean, since Kirk Cousins, they haven't had the same starter on opening day. So for the first time, you're going to have the same starter in week one this year as you had last
year.
And
in the same offense.
It's been a long
time. You have Kingsbury back.
Exactly.
I mean, Kingsbury was a hot commodity this past coaching cycle, and he chose to stay here for another year.
Offensively, I wouldn't really worry. Should be better with Debo and Laremy Tunsil. The question is, and... You know, we had the one caller say, the guy that's Z, say that Kinlaw is a huge guy. That's my question. For me, almost like the whole season is, are they going to be able to stop the run?
I think they'll be better.
That was their serious Achilles heel.
I think they're going to be better at it. I think defensively they're going to make a huge jump this year. But the thing is, and the reason why I bring up the offensive struggles questions a little bit, because I've assumed that the offense is just going to kind of actually, at a bare minimum, maintain what they did last year. If not, get a little bit better, right? I feel like they scored 29 points a game, whatever it was.
Yeah,
they have better personnel. Why can't we do better?
It should be.
Why can't we do better? At a minimum.
Maybe defenses adjust. I don't know.
But if the Terry holdout
schedule,
Terry's going to play week one. You know that.
Yeah, but if it drags on, game. Say he doesn't sign for another 10 days and misses a bunch of camp, he could start the season slow. He could have a slow first month of the season, first 5 weeks that he's just not up to speed.
I don't think he's going to sign anything in the next 10 days. It sounds like they're but far apart.
Yeah. I mean, I don't expect a deal anytime soon.
Yeah. But I think he's going to have to start practicing.
But he knows
at some point.
He's got to get out there.
Yeah. He knows. He's going to get out there. He knows.
But to answer your question, EB, I wouldn't worry about it. Are you worried?
I'm not worried. I'm just, my eyebrows are raised. I just want to see. My eyebrows are raised. I want to see my stud quarterback who I'm expecting to take another step. I don't want to throw him in 100 interceptions this year.
He looks pretty chill.
He does. I agree.
That's one of his hallmarks.
Right. I'm certainly encouraged by some of the young guys that are
worried, Cakes?
Worried about the offense?
EB's question.
I'd worry much more about the defense than I'd worry about the offense at this point.
I think I'm telling you, I'm excited about the defense. I'm excited about the secondary, and I think I'm excited to see the different packages they come up with. In terms of pass rushing guys, I heard that they're standing up more guys. They're moving guys around. The Kinlaw thing, I just can't wait to see him. I want to ask her. Everybody says the same thing about Kinlaw. What a monster.
Oh, he is.
What an absolute monster.
Massive.
Let's go to Jonathan, West Virginia. Jonathan, what's up, buddy? You're over the Junks.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, listen, I just want to comment. Hey, I'm good. I just want to comment on what you guys are talking about as far as training camp. I've never really, been a fan for years. And how many times we heard defense is doing great or the offense is doing great. And we get to the season, it's like it goes the other way. So it's more about just seeing these new guys stand out. And like you said, what are they being asked to do? With the lane catch, that spectacular catch he had, I've read somewhere where they supposedly are down 60 at the goal line. You got to score a touchdown. So that's why Daniels threw that pass to him. So it's more, it's you just really got to look at what the new guys are doing and how it's going to translate to the field. I always wait to the first couple games till I make my prediction of what's going to happen on the field. So, you know, as long as these new guys coming in or fitting in, making plays, that's making me happy for what's expected to happen on the field. That's all I got for you guys.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Thank you, Jonathan. I just wish we had. Who was it? Was it Buffalo Scott? Who was it? Was it Buffalo that we had on? Yeah, it was Buffalo. Oh, yeah, we were talking about Von Miller. I just wish we had that schedule. Our schedule is totally different than that one, buddy. It just is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot easier schedule.
And they weren't. There wasn't a lot of travel either.
No, they're not doing. They're not going. I don't think they're going to Europe like we are.
Coming up next, we'll talk to our pal Grant Paulson, who was out of Commanders training camp yesterday. We'll continue to talk Commanders training camp, which is brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Welcome back, Junkies. Coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Why do people hate on Creed? That's a banger.
Well, they must hate hits. Radio-friendly, just catchy hits.
For some
reason, a lot of people.
Not this person.
Millions and millions, because they just think they're cheesy.
Not the guy sitting right here. I can tell you that. Fully embrace them. Wrap my arms around Scott Stapp and company.
They used to feel that way about Nickelback, too.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Nickelback.
All right. Nickelback has done is sell millions and millions of albums, toured around the world, and made probably $100 million.
Well, didn't also the hardcore metal guys used to hold it against Metallica? Right? They were...
Because they feel like Metallica sold out at one point.
Right.
Like, when, with the success of the Black Album and after that. That's fine. You can criticize them, but last time I checked, they played Northwest Stadium, and there were about 60,000 people there.
Yeah, man,
I don't think they care. They're doing just fine. Yeah. It's okay.
All right, I see Grant is on. Maybe we were trying to get him on another, but we're going to have him on the phone line here.
All right, so, GP.
Of course, he's been out there a bunch. He's grinding, putting in that work. GP, what's up, buddy?
Gentlemen, greetings from the practice field. How are you?
Hey, how are you, pal?
What's it looking like out there with all the fans?
Yeah, set the scene for us right now.
Yeah, it's very hot. They've moved practice up for now 3 straight practices and I think 4 overall since they started 1 hour. So the original plan was that Dan Quinn was going to speak at 8:30. Practices would be at 9. But just because of the heat out here this week, he's been speaking at 7:30. Practices have been at 8. Yesterday was a full open day for all fans. Now, you had to claim tickets and there was kind of a lottery that went down. You couldn't just show up. Today is a season ticket holder only fan day. So it's a much smaller crowd, but it's, I mean, the bleachers are still filled in. There are still fans kind of lining the sideline areas here. So it's good energy, man. When they get the fans out here, it really does change things. You know, you guys are old enough to remember when training camp used to be a month long and there were 2-a-days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is my 26th training camp coming out here. And every year there's fewer and fewer practices. In fact, Washington only has 3 truly open practices, 6 if you count season ticket holders only, one of the fewest totals in the National Football League. So I think it's a real bummer. It's kind of a league trend. It's a team trend. I think it's a bad look. But you know, other than that, getting fans out here just adds a little spark, adds a little juice. You can see the guys fed off of it yesterday.
Grant, compare and contrast the scene now with like 3 or 4 years ago, the dying days of the Dan Snyder era. We remember seeing some of the pictures from training camp where there was just
nobody there.
It looked like a dirty bomb went off at the facility. There was just no interest. Apathy had set in. And now it's like, you better get that ticket online or you're not going to get in.
Yeah, it's night and day. There was actually a pretty viral picture. I think maybe Nikki Jabala posted a few years ago where there was like one guy in a folding chair.
Yeah, I remember that.
By himself on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so embarrassing. I mean, the team, the reason maybe you scale back some of the fan access at that point was the apathy had set in so much that there wasn't enough interest. Like the supply and demand didn't work to just have practices open. And I mean, there were a few dozen people at a time would come out, a couple hundred maybe by the end of a practice, something like that. But now you're talking about thousands. And I don't want to downplay yesterday. I mean, it really was jammed. Getting into the facility was brutal all the way down Loudoun County Parkway. It was almost like, you know, opening day at an amusement park or something like that. But I do think, you know, when I saw a lot of the reaction to the crowd and everything, you got to remember that there's only 3 open practices, too.
Right.
So you're going to crowbar a lot more people into the facility on those 3 days than if you were spreading out. You know, a lot of fans had the choice to go to like 20 different practices. So I think that's a big part of why it was packed to the gills yesterday.
Grant, any thoughts on, from the reports at least, the guys that are out there, the defenses maybe had a little better of it the last couple days. There might have been a day there where Jaden struggled a little bit, maybe had more interceptions than he typically would, something like that. Is that just sort of the regular ups and downs of training camp, or is that, you know, maybe part of it because a guy like Terry's not there? Are they trying different things? What do you see?
I think EB, you're right. I think it's probably the ebbs and the flows of training camp. I mean, you guys know that even back when I was on the beat years ago talking to you guys, like oftentimes the defense is going to be ahead of the offense, right? That's just one of those traditional camp storylines. But I could end up being a little too bullish and, like, walking this back in a little while.
Yeah,
I've actually been really impressed by their secondary. Their corners, I keep hearing that. Marshawn Lattimore looks better than he did last year unequivocally. Now, is he going to be Marshawn Lattimore from New Orleans? I can't say that yet. They just got the pads on for the first time today, and they haven't run 11s. They're basically going through individual and positional work. So we'll see what he looks like when they start thumping a little bit. But I'll tell you who I really like is Trey Amos, the second-year corner. I talked to him for a few minutes yesterday. He's immensely confident. He's long. Like, you want him getting off the bus. He looks like an NFL player. He just looks comfortable. And Jonathan Jones, who they signed from New England, I think has had a good camp early on as well. He's kind of been splitting some first-team reps. But you look at what they've done at corner. I don't know if it's all going to work because Igbinoghadi, you know, makes the roster or doesn't, having a good camp, is now like the fifth guy. He was number two, number three at points last year. So there is just a deeper group of players there. And I think that's a big factor, Eric, for why the offense and the passing game has scuffled a little bit. I think some of it has been good corner play, honestly, tight coverage. Like, they've been way, way better. And, man, I was standing next to Logan Paulson on the practice field yesterday. After a couple plays, he's like, you just didn't see reps like that consistently last year.
Talking to Grant Paulson, of course, Grant Danny Show, 2 to 6:30 here on The Fan. Grant, you tweeted about Terry McLaurin. Why hasn't he asked for a trade? Explain why you think it doesn't make any sense that he hasn't asked for a trade.
Well, it's just very rare that anybody holds out in this era, in this new CBA time frame, JP, that you wouldn't come to work because it's so counterproductive. You get fined and have to pay $50,000 a day for not showing up. And the team, at one point in time years ago, could at the end of it kind of forgive you and go, oh, we're not going to make you pay. Well, now in this new CBA, you can't do that. Like, eventually you have to pay the piper unless you add it into your contract to kind of make it a wash on the back end. So he showed back up for a hold-in, which is kind of what I thought he was going to do to begin with. But when I tweeted that over the weekend, he'd still not shown up. He was accruing $50,000 fines every single day. And my point was, almost nobody does that. Like, the two guys right now that are holding out are McLaurin and Trey Hendrickson, who's called his coach a liar and has called his team a bunch of names this offseason and is, like, tweeting out shtick from Florida. Very, very unhappy. He's asked for a trade. I would be willing to guess that if you go back over the last several years, there's only a handful of guys that have held out. If you're willing to go that far to the end of the earth, kind of scorched earth, so to speak, you also ask for a trade. I think the idea that you would not be at practice holding out to that extent of the, you know, acrimony, but not ask for a trade, that's a really small runway to put a plane down on. So my point is, it's kind of weird to me that he hasn't done both. That's his leverage. He's got two options. Don't show up and ask for a trade. And he's done A but not B. And just in talking to some people around him recently, the idea is there's a time and place for everything. And they don't feel like maybe the time is yet. But I don't know that they spoke. I don't mean this was Terry, but it didn't sound to me like there's no chance that it ever happens, but as of right now, they don't want to use basically that button that would escalate things.
Do you get the sense more than ever that, you know, he may just have to play this season out under the contract and then, you know, deal with it afterwards, whether or not they think about franchising him or he can move on? Like, is it more likely today than it ever has been sort of in our minds? Because we've always just sort of assumed that they would just come to an agreement, reasonable people would come to an agreement, and they would take care of him on some level, and we'd be done with this.
It's definitely more possible with every day that passes. There's no doubt. I still refuse to believe that would be the case, because if he were to play out the season on his contract, number one, you are risking him still not participating in preseason games, right? I would have said if he was just holding out, well, he's got to show up for the preseason because he's going to get fined $811,000 every time he doesn't play in a preseason game. There's three of them. And in every regular season game, it's almost $1 million fine. He's not going to accrue that. But if he's holding in with this, and I'm going to use air quotes here, foot injury that he's dealing with, you know, this ankle foot thing that he's got that has him on PUP list, well, there's no rush for him to get back. Like, he could stay on that list in perpetuity and just not really feel well, if that makes sense. So he could essentially not play this season if he was serious about it. Now, I don't really think he's that kind of guy, which is where I would say there's a possibility that they just hold their ground, they don't budge, and eventually he begrudgingly shows back up and plays this football season. But as soon as the year starts and he doesn't have a deal, he's gone at the end of the year. I mean, like the acrimony would be so substantial, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Think about it like a Nats player that we talk about all the time. Once the offseason begins and you're a free agent to be in a few months, why would you re-sign before going to market? So he's going to hit the market, and someone's going to pay him what Washington hasn't been willing to. So I think they either get this thing done before the end of the preseason, or this is his final year in Washington.
They don't franchise him? You don't see that as a possibility?
Sure, they could do that, but they don't want to pay him right now close to the $30-plus million figure that he's asking for. The franchise tag next year is 1 year at $30 million. You could do the Cousins thing if you feel like he's got one good year left or something like
that. You just nickel and dime him. You just do it 1 year at a time. Squeeze out whatever you can.
Yeah. I think there's 1 year where that financially makes sense because it's 120% of your franchise tag number the year before. So he would be up to like the Justin Jefferson money almost the second year. So if they went that route, they would basically be just franchise tagging him and opting into another offseason of turmoil, another offseason where he doesn't show up at camp, another offseason where he shows back up right around week one or the preseason or whatever that is, and his agent's upset and he's doing, you know, promos at Eastern Motors or, you know, Chick-fil-A or wherever he decides to go that time. Is that really worth it? Like, to me, no, I would say it's not, but maybe they decide that they want to do that and tag him for one more year.
Talking to Grant Paulson, GP, we have two polls of the day today, which is very rare. One, I don't want to steal your double play bit, but yay or nay on Happy Gilmore 2?
I was a yay on Happy Gilmore 2.
Okay.
Are people expecting it to be an Academy Award winner? Like, what are people looking for?
No, they shouldn't have been.
Silly cameos left and right. Celebrities all over the joint. It's nostalgia to the highest order. There's some hilarious, like Scottie Scheffler just as an actor is funny to me. The Will Zalatoris bit where he's playing the guy that everyone says he looks like that he choked as his caddy.
It's pretty funny.
There's a lot of really funny things.
Yeah.
All right. And then our other poll today had to do with Mackenzie Gore.
Yeah. Should they
trade him?
This week.
I would trade him. Yes.
Yeah.
I think I'm a minority on this, by the way. I get a lot of Nats fans get upset at me every time I say this. Because I think the assumption is, guys, I don't know what like the feedback you're getting is, but when I say that, they believe that I just want to be the Oakland Athletics or whatever. And they want to just – they think I just want to trade everyone before they become a free agent. And it's not that way. Like, I am working right now every single hour of every single day if I'm Mike DiBartolo to re-sign C.J. Abrams for the long term, who's not a Boras-advised player. But Abrams not only is advised by Boras and is going to free agency, but he has always been a guy, just behind the scenes that I've heard. It's not like he doesn't like D.C., but that is not going to be here after this contract, likely.
Yeah.
He's going to go to the market. He's from the South, probably go back to Atlanta or something like that. So if you know internally that you're likely to lose a guy in a couple of years, this is Soto-esque. Mm-hmm. They could get an awesome return for him. They could get a 3 or 4 player package with 1 or 2 really good prospects. They could get a close to the big leagues, minor league pitcher who's got a chance to be a number two type starter in the right package. He's the only guy they could trade and do really, really well in a return. So, yes, I would absolutely be not just taking calls on him. I would be shopping him. I would be making the calls. Because right now, if you trade him today before the deadline, someone's getting 3 postseasons of him. If you wait till this offseason when they're more likely to trade him, I think, it's only 2 postseasons. So you're getting like a 33% spike in return if you were to move him right now.
I know you tweeted a little bit about whether this was a perpetual rebuild. And it's kind of hard not to feel that way because if you just went back, say, 3 years ago, you would have expected to be in a lot different spot than where you are right now, Grant.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. Well, here's why it's in theory, a perpetual rebuild, I guess, to use that phrase, is because they don't spend any money.
Mm-hmm, correct.
So if they don't spend on major league veteran talent, well, then they're never going to be any good. And it nothing matters. Like, you can't not spend and eventually get back to the playoffs. So to me, if they would have had the offseason that everybody was kind of hoping they would have, where they go out and get a legitimate power-hitting outfielder, a decent infielder, and a starting pitcher, I'm not asking them to be the, you know, the Phillies with a $300 million payroll or the Dodgers or something with a $400 million payroll, but just go out and spend money, they would have been a much better baseball team. You know, they were 500 before they cratered in June. They could have been 7-8 games over in a wild card team. I don't even think they're that far away if they have that type of offseason this year. I just don't have any faith that their ownership is going to spend any money.
Correct.
Good stuff, Grant.
Thanks, Grant.
All right, bro.
Thank you, buddy. Have a good time out there. Appreciate it. Stay cool.
See you guys. Were you guys in on Happy Gilmore, by the way?
Three out of four. I liked it. Drake liked it. Valdez loved it. Drab hated it.
Yeah. I thought it was fun. It just 2 hours to not do anything. I mean, my kids were like asleep. It was the best thing ever.
Yeah, perfect. Exactly.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Stay cool out there.
See you, boys.
All right, buddy. It's Grant Paulson.
That's our buddy, Grant Paulson from training camp. Maybe we'll get in touch with AWOD a little bit later. He's also there. Don't go anywhere. Wanted to give a quick shout out to a friend of mine, Todd Greenbaum, and his team. He coaches the Montgomery County, Upper County, 12 and under All-Stars, and they became the first team in Montgomery County to ever make it to regionals. They won the state tournament 3 years in a row.
What sport?
Little League.
Baseball.
Baseball. So they are three wins away from making it to Williamsport. I guess the next step is they go to Bristol.
Okay. Very cool.
And they compete in a tournament there. But for Montgomery County, it's huge.
So they go to Bristol and they've got to win three games in that tournament.
Believe so.
Do they have to go 3 for 3 or is it like best 2 out of 3? Like,
I'm not positive of the format. I just know that Todd's a friend of mine. He played quarterback at Lafayette. Played quarterback at Quince Orchard, I believe, before going to Lafayette, and he's coaching his son, and they've advanced all the way to we grew up not even playing Little League, which kind of sucked. We played for South Bowie, and I don't think there was official Little League.
It was baseball, but it wasn't official Little League.
I played the Babe Ruth League. It was called you remember the Babe Ruth League?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Babe Ruth was like a travel.
It was a step up
from what we did. We just did county baseball.
Yeah,
I don't even know if we did intramural, whatever it was. But yeah, no, I wish we'd, because Little League, you can hit a dinger, right?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, three of us live in Montgomery County, so hopefully they can advance.
Can represent for the MoCo.
How about Nick Kurtz of the Athletics, the rookie who hit 4 bombs in 1 game over the weekend? No.
Yeah, that's
unbelievable.
I'm not going to top that.
Now, was the Drabby, did you see the highlights? Was the last one off of like position a backup player. Shortstop?
Yeah, it was like a 50 amount. Yeah,
that's all right.
But you know what? It still counts, I know, but that was unbelievable.
It's got an asterisk next to it.
Maybe a little bit.
I mean, the kid is a flat-out stud. I mean, he was playing minor league baseball two months ago.
Yeah, he was a number four pick in
something
last year's
like that,
draft. Yeah. And he's already up hitting bombs, hitting like 305 with like 23
homers. Did anybody go into their accounts and bet for him to hit 4 home runs in a game? Like, are there any of those tickets out there?
I'm guessing no.
Probably not.
Because if there were, that's going to be a huge bet.
That was an unbelievable story.
I didn't check. Somebody said that we had a spectacular whiff on the parlay, except for cakes.
Well, I picked a minus number. Like, my pick was not difficult.
Yeah, I took Bryce to hit a bomb. Didn't happen.
Gore gave me 4 strikeouts. I needed 7.
You picked 2 to hit up Bryce Harper?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think somebody else picked that somebody hit a bomb. Maybe
Valdez, I think, picked one of the Orioles. One of the stories I am fascinated with in training camp is Travis Hunter. I can't wait to start seeing.
Now, you told me that he did all offensive snaps, and then later I saw that he's splitting time.
I saw first couple days more offense, last couple days more defense.
I don't care about him playing defense. I couldn't care less if he plays 0 defensive snaps.
Yeah, but that's what all makes him
about
so,
the offense.
That's what makes him so intriguing, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not for fantasy purposes, it doesn't intrigue me one bit.
You know how we wondered when Shohei finally started pitching and hitting, and it was like, wow, he is a unicorn, that we thought that more kids might ultimately do that? Do you think Travis Hunter could lead to more players
depends
playing
how,
both
Let me
ways.
See how they do.
It depends on how good he is. Yeah.
How they, you know.
Don't you think he's going to shine?
At times, I think he's going to be better at one than the
but
other.
But it might not be as big a deal if he's only playing a few snaps on one side. If he's very much primary defense, I don't think it's going to change things much if they just sprinkle in some on the other side. If he becomes a full-time player on both sides...
Potential three-headed wide-out monster there in Jacksonville. Brian Thomas Jr., Travis Hunter, speedy De'Ami Brown.
De'Ami Brown.
Wow.
Now, a lot of people think De'Ami Brown was a Jaden Daniels creation, and that very well could be the case. We'll see how he performs with Trevor Lawrence throwing him the football.
But Travis Hunter
parlayed in a 1-year, $11 million deal, so good for him.
Yesterday, Travis Hunter, they said he had an eventful day in his second consecutive practice on defense. Number 2 overall pick, broke up 3 passes in 21 snaps in 11-on-11, including one on the final play of practice in the red zone. Hunter also broke up throws to Austin Trammell and Brian Thomas Jr.
Do you realize how...
So apparently he had a really good day yesterday.
You realize what a freak he has to be. That these athletes are unreal.
Yeah.
They're the best of the best. And for you to be that much of a standout, that you could just dabble on one side or the other and make massive plays and stand out. His athleticism
he's a sick athlete.
It's like nothing compares to it.
So through 4 practices, Hunter's been on the field in 11-on-11 and 7-on-7 for 83 snaps. He spent the first 2 practices only on offense, 36 snaps. So they're starting to move him on
the field. I mean, it'd be hard to do both. It's 11. You can't play offense and defense at the same time.
Yeah.
He's a first teamer.
Yeah, he's awesome.
It's unbelievable. So they got to kind of pick and choose.
I do know that the coach, when they talked to him, they said they thought they got 2 players. If you say that, you're planning on using them. It's a good bargain.
And then they trade up so that they can
trade
get them
up. Yep.
I mean, they invested a lot.
They traded up so much
with the Browns.
But
the Browns
rationalize it in their brain because they literally think they got 2 players. They got an offensive player and they got a defensive player.
They do have a young kid.
Well, Deion had 2 players, didn't he?
They've got a young whiz kid GM there now in Jacksonville. I think his last name is Gladstone. I think he's like 37 years old. Looks like a kid. Mm-hmm. Like they've completely revamped. Their front office there, and they're going in a bold, kind of radical new direction.
What was his playing time? Like, what was the breakdown at Colorado? Was it full-time both?
Pretty much.
I mean, I'm sure he probably took a couple plays off here and there. But
there were games he didn't take any plays off. He was full-time, all time.
Pretty much. Yeah. I'm just saying he might have taken a couple plays off if they were up 4 touchdowns.
I'm telling you, the show, which is now defunct, the facility, James Jones was part of that, and he made it seem like playing wide receiver in the NFL. Yeah. He's like, he poo-pooed it. He said, everybody talks about how physical the league is. Mm-hmm. He goes, if you're a wide receiver, he goes, you might take a couple hits. He's like, but it's not, he goes, you're not a running back. Mm-hmm. You're not an offensive lineman. You're a wide receiver. So in terms of the physicality part, he thought it was fine. And so then the question was the fitness part.
Right.
And he was he was in Travis Hunter's corner, but he was like, look, you get all these breaks, you know, there's a lot of downtime. Yeah, so he thought he could do it.
Wow. I mean, I'm all for it.
I can't wait to watch
Jags it. Jags might be a tasty week one survivor play. They host the Panthers week one.
Stay away from that one.
Kind of spicy.
Last year,
we put all our chips in on the dumb Bengals because we said it's impossible they're going to lose the Patriots. And what happened? Patriots went in and smoked their asses. And we, along with about 50% of the field, got bounced. So don't come at me with these overwhelming
favorites.
Yeah, but I can't
take I don't know if I can take one of the worst teams in the league.
I'm with you.
I know Jason's sitting it out.
That gets me nervous.
Well, I won't sit. I'm sitting out circa. I'm not putting up that much money for that because you're not going to win. I'll do a smaller pool.
Yeah, but that's not as fun. It's not as much fun.
He sent out his college survivor pool. $100.
It's not as fun.
It's not as fun.
Where is, by the way?
You got a better chance at winning the smaller one.
I understand that.
Getting back to Travis Hunter, what are his fantasy projections based on not knowing?
I'd have to look at like his...
Like, are they saying he's like a top... He's not a first-round pick in fantasy.
No.
You're talking about what, like a third or fourth-round pick potentially?
Maybe a little later than that, possibly.
Rookies are always a little lower.
Okay.
Because you're going to draft your Jamar Chases and Justin Jefferson and all those guys ahead of
him. Mm-hmm. Is there a universal one this year like there has been in years past?
I mean, it's
does Saquon go way back up? Like
he's way out. He's like a top 5 pick.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily in this order. It's like Jamar Chase, Saquon, Bijan Robinson, maybe Justin Jefferson.
You saw he says it's
Jahmyr Gibbs.
It's Bijan. You saw that bit, right?
Which bit?
Where he was at a table and they asked him, how do you pronounce your name?
It's Bijan. He says Bijan.
It's not, everyone pronounces it wrong. It's Bijan.
Bijan.
It's not Bijan.
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 If I had the number one pick, I would take Bijan Robinson, and I wouldn't really think twice
Travis
about it.
Travis Hunter's season receiving yard total is 750 and a half.
Yardage?
His prop. Yeah.
We're going to see.
For touchdowns, I can tell you what his touchdown. Let me see.
That's my guess. Four and a half.
He is a freak, though, because his legs bigger than Emmanuel Forbes, but I looked at him one time.
Spindly?
Very spindly.
Yep, yeah. You're right. Four and a half.
But he's just a freak.
I think it would go over four and a half.
Maybe.
Now, hold on. What if he gets like a defensive touchdown or something? That doesn't count.
It probably delineates offense only.
Receiving touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, coming up next, we'll open up EB's entertainment page. Don't go anywhere.